Frost or something, or I forget what they call him in Hollywood. Bear Man. They help people get back. They used to say they'd help you if you get stuck or hurt.
Bear Man?
Yeah, a Horlock or the Bigfoot.
Oh.
He'll help you.
You're talking about that ice cracky.
Yeah. You that heard about
to, that used to remind me of going ice skating. Soon to hear the ice cracky. Oh yeah, but do I ever go ice skating?
But then the Horlock is a different thing altogether. They used to say if somebody did something bad, like murder or something in old days, they would chase them out from the village, and the other villages would recognize that too. They won't let them come to another village. They had to go live by themselves. And some of them, their wives or family would run away and stay with them. And they just lived in the woods. Some people say there was some maybe still up by Devil's Inlet. You know where that is? Past Blue Fox. Up till the 40s, they think there were still some before they died out. They were banished from the village. And that's what they thought, maybe some of those guys would trade with them too. Because their cousins used to sneak them tea and stuff and felt sorry for them. But they, don't anybody do something bad, they used to ban them from the village. Because they didn't have no laws, you know. I mean, that was their law.
That's why they sold that land there, to the joint venture land. Scared of them guys.
Over there. Yeah. Somebody told me, real creepy up there. I forget who was going. He said they go up there and they anchored up, tied the anchor good. They're going to lay down. They said they wake up, their boat is drifting. But lucky they had that polypropylene anchor. We see it floating, he went back, the skipper was mad, made him tie it real good and go back to sleep. They wake up, they're drifting again. They pull their anchor and get the heck out of there in the middle of the night. Something mysterious. So there's a lot of funny things. I know, I got a whole bunch of old ladies, boy, they were, we were playing, you know, we'd find a dead bird or something, we'd put them in a spam can and bury, play service, you know. I'd put a large cat on my head and I'd play Father Garasim, funeral, you know. And then Marie Chichinov and Catherine or Chicky. Their chicken died. We had a big funeral for pretend crying and up in the woods. And we had little crosses and put flowers. Jenny, Irina, and somebody else were walking. They found them. Boy, we were scared. They were running up there with holy water. They said, shamanaks are coming. They thought the shamanaks were. Why, we were scared to tell them, we wouldn't get whipped. They were splashing holy water all over them, they burned those crops. Yeah. They said, shamanaks do that, and they want people to die. And we got scared, we never did that.
Speaking of that chicken, reminds me of something they used to do. Was it during the masquerade? When is that?
Play, yeah, with the instruments.
Instruments. Uh-huh. The banya?
18th of January.
Yeah. They take a rooster. They say before midnight, you get a rooster and you hold it, you go in the banya. And like if you want to play banjo or accordion or fiddle, you just play there and a little devil will come out and start dancing you play. But they say never let it touch you. When it comes close to you, you got to squeeze the rooster. The rooster will holler and he'll go back to the other end of the banya. I heard that in Ezekiel, Old Harbor too. And they said, then you'll start playing whatever you want to play, and banjo or guitar. But when he gets close, you squeeze the rooster. And when the rooster hollers, he'll go way back. You make it to midnight, you come out, they swore people played those instruments.
Have you heard something like that, John?
Do you have that story too? See, in his place they have it.
You don't remember anything like that?
No, I didn't have experience of that.
Mr. Deepen, cat too.
Yeah, he said they use a cat and squeeze the cat, but never let the devil touch you, little devil, come on.
If you squeeze the rooster, like you said, the devils will run away where they came from.
Or they can't touch you, but you got to keep playing and let him dance. But he'll try to sneak up. If you touch you, he'll die. I'd be scared. What if I'm trying to tune up?
And they bring him here. The cat is to bring him back again. See, the rooster's to make him go away and the cat's to bring him back. Because the rooster, they'll think it's dawn, they'll go run away. And the cat, they'll think it's night, and they'll come back out again. And they also bring a mirror, and they don't look at, they never look at it directly, they look at it through the mirror.
There's all kinds of stories. Like you mentioned a while ago, and I asked that question too, and I said, why they cover all the mirrors in the houses when somebody's dead? They said in Yuzinki long time ago, I don't know if it was a guy or a woman, went up to the dresser where the mirror was and just screamed and dropped dead, and they had two dead people.
Yeah.
They don't know what they seen something in the mirror, or just maybe got startled, maybe didn't know the mirror was there, and you know, they said after that there was. Everybody said, cover your mirror.
Yeah, I remember Daddy used to say that.
Because they must have seen the dead person in them.
Okay, finish your story about the chicken.
No, I didn't have a story. I was just trying to bring out what I've always heard, and I couldn't remember what it was.
What was the purpose of throwing the shoe over the barnyard? I remember that too.
Well, maybe they're playing Auntie over. No, I don't know. There's all kinds of things they do. But well, like my mom said, don't laugh at them.
Yeah.
Don't laugh at them, because when you really need them, they help you with what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, don't laugh at them, because she said she's seen it. She grew up in Eagle Harbor and didn't have no school. And she said, well, the last shaman, there was a Padarochin, who was my cousin, some way on my mom's side, Peter Padarochin. And they'd bring all the, first they used to have, I forget what they call it now, the dream house or something, where the ceremonial house. They used to sit down and talk to the kids. But they said now they start using the church. And he would tell them about what's going to happen. I wish Clyda was here when I talked to her in Kodiak. She had the same stories too that her grandma told her. They told my mom, for some day you guys will fly to Kodiak in a few minutes. And like Clyda said, she used to wonder when they're going to get wings to fly when she was a little girl. But see, all that came through, and they said they'll talk through the air. You'll have lights in the house, you don't have to put oil. It burns, electric light. And Mary's mom and my mom, when the guy was telling him, they're going to have toilets in the house, they said, let's get out of here. This guy's losing it or something, you know. He said, them houses are sure going to stink when they put toilets, because all they know is nuisance. They're going to have toilets in the house. This guy's getting crazy.
Yeah.
And she said, look, the planes came, And even Carl Panamaria told me once, Len, remember our mom's talking about crazy box? You could see what's going on in England, China. Mm-hmm. He said, there it is, television.
Yeah, I remember
that. Yeah, and how did they know? When we were young, we'd go look in the wood box by the stove. Said, let's look in the crazy box, see what's going on in China. Yeah. You know, we didn't even know what a TV was. Mm-hmm. But they used to say it's coming, and they predicted all that stuff. They predicted about the church. They said their great grandpas always said the true church is going to come from the West, mm-hmm. with white people, which happened to be the Russians. Mm-hmm. That's why when they first came, they tried to embrace them, but those were primogenics. They were hunters, and they treated the people mean. And then they start warring. But those lot of Russians, they claimed that were with them Russians were religious from St. Petersburg. And they tried to stop Shelikov from being brutal to them. They snuck letters back to Russia with the theme and saying that these people are peace-loving and need to be Christians. Then the Tsarina got the letters and then sent a priest, and that was their prediction, it was going to come, the priest would come. And they made predictions that later, which coming to pass now, they would say, someday other churches will come, they will sound real good, and even your strongest leaders will go with them. But they said, don't stick with your one church. I was just amazed. They said, pretty soon, someday you'll see priests come. They'll have priest clothes and priest's whiskers. And they're not real priests. That's happening in Kodiak right now. And I remember them saying that.
The priests
will come and they're not priests.
Yeah.
And we used to say, that never happened. And my mom and some lady named Catherine and Sasha, your mom, that shaman told him, look here now, he said, someday there won't be no more Aleuts left, mm-hmm. no more true Aleuts, they're all going to be mixed. Mm-hmm. Ah, full of baloney, whole village full of Aleuts, they didn't believe him. Mm-hmm. Look at it now, look at it now. They didn't believe him, you know. The planes, the TV, all those things, predictions about the church. And they said, someday in some villages, the grass is going to grow on the road to the church. He said, that's how bad people are not going to go to church anymore. You're starting to see that. I didn't think I'd see it in my life. You're starting to see that grass growing over the road because nobody's going to church. He told me that. I said, never happened.
Yeah.
I was doing like she did when she was young. It never happened. Look at it. It's amazing how they predicted all that stuff going to happen. So, look in 64, when we're all up on the hill after a tidal wave, KK come, he said, Sven, he said, whatever you do, he said, you're chief now. Go down, clean up the church before you go. He said the road right above it, the water was already above the door. Mm. And that night on the hill, someone told me, the church looks like a power barge, it's going to go. And I just said, no, it won't go. The cross is holding it down. And people remember me saying that. But I don't know why I said that.
Yeah.
So me and Larry McFay, Willie Shugak, Peter Alexandrov, and Jacob Simeonov, after we sent the first two boats, crab boats picked up a lot of people coming from Saudi, and a Navy boat was coming. I told them, guys, come on, let's go clean the church. KK was tired stuff, you know, but he was getting old. He said, please clean it up. We went to the church and there was a big pile of grass and logs and cans and stuff that washed around by the door. And we cleaned them all away so we can open the door. And we opened it, the guys went in, they all got on their knees, you know. I wasn't thinking, you know. I walked right in and I said, yeah, it looks good here in the scene. And I looked down, they were all crossing themselves, kneeling down. Floor, there wasn't a drop of water. And that old door, I swear you could put a pencil under it. And you opened that door, the church was perfect. Not a candle fell, nothing. No oil spilled from the lamps, but before the wave took the houses downtown, the stoves and hot water tanks, everything was tipped over and busted loose. But in the church, it was just dry. So, oh, we don't have to do nothing. So we just left it, and that's why everybody decided God sent us a message to come back to Old Harlem. That's why Kaguya didn't go back. They had a new church, only 2 years old. It washed out, and that's why then people chose not to go back to Kaguya, really? Because the church went out.
Yeah.
Because when I went to Yuzinkia, I told Father Garas, and he was happy to hear, because he heard rumors our church went. I said, no, it didn't go.
Yeah.
So, that's a true miracle on that.
Yeah.
See, we wanted to build a new church way up in the new section on the hill, but all the priests said, no, that's a miracle church. We'll just repair it. We can't move it.
They're so doing real good.
Now they're rebuilding all the outside, the bottom, to last many more years. But that's a miracle. Makes a true believer out of you when you see that.
Yes.
Larry McFay went and put a big nail outside so people could see where the watermark was, oil and stuff around the church. And still people don't believe. Because them guys came from a newspaper, you know, and I was excited. I wanted to tell them about it. You know what they said? Oh, when the water came, it pushed the grass and the papers and it plucked a hole by the door. That's why the water didn't go in.
Yeah.
I said, once in a million years, it never stopped one drop from going in. Because those old doors, you can put a pencil under it. They said, yeah, the grass and the papers come and plucked it, and that's why the water didn't go in. I mean, you know, they all have to have their logical explanation. I said, you can believe that, I won't. And that's why I worked so hard to help the church after that whole hard.
That's why their stories are never true in the papers.
Oh, yeah.
Because they don't believe it or don't want to believe it, so they make up their own stories.
Yeah, they change it. This is the and the school was built, even was old, was built on cement pillars with irons and bolts to the. And that was washed off its foundation.
Yeah.
The priest now there when they do remodeling, he said. And there was one engineer came to do architect work. He said, by the way it's constructed, he said it should have floated away. There's no nails, it's just sitting on piling.
Yeah.
And he said, the earthquake, he said, that engineer climbed up. He said, by right, that should have collapsed. There's no supports in there.
Mm.
He said, the earthquake should have collapsed. He said, this, by science, it's not supposed to be still standing.
Yeah.
He said, there's nothing really holding it.
Yeah.
Now they're putting braces on it. 30 years too late. So it's interesting. And things like that.
You know, to us it is because we believe all this.
I believe it too, and then, well, I didn't remember any of this when I was young. When I was, I think, five and a half years old, I got double pneumonia, they said, sick. And Catherine Doris Chichinov, she was 3, I think. And they made a kind of hospital in the mission. They took us over there, trying to cure us. And they said that Dr. Pryor was there. He was a retired doctor that had an island. They called him. And they told my mom at that no use. They came home, he's going to die. I was locked jaw. I couldn't open my mouth. And they took me home and lit the lampada. Same with Kat and Doris, they took her home. The doctor said, no, they're going to die. Then they said, Anicia and Galia, and they came, you know, to visit my mom, and they asked her, could we try something? And my mom asked my dad, he said, anything, do anything. They took flannel and they got the St. Herman mud and rubbed it on and put it on my chest. Dora Pestrikov, or Gladys, Dora, I think Dora was there. She was pretty young then. She said, after they put that St. Herman mud and flannel on my chest, my mouth opened. Mm-hmm. Then they made real tea, weak tea with a lot of sugar, and they were spooning that in me. When they seen that happen, they ran next door to Kat and Doris and did the same thing, and she come out of it. Yeah. And they're sorry they didn't go to the other one. Yeah. There were about 7 people died that fall. And Catherine and I made it because they brought the St. Herman mud. And they used to tell me, when you get bigger fishing, give those ladies some money or something. When I tried to give it to them, they just put it in the church. Yeah. They wouldn't take it. So here I am.
That's what they used to do anymore. They put it in their pocket.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that's why I always support St. Herman stuff.
They
documented that and sent it to New York, one of the miracles. Yeah, I think Galia told him before she died, you know, before canonization or something. Because she said she was there too, bear stuff. You know, when people, somebody's real sick, all the old ladies go visit. And then they came in and tried that. And it worked. So you hear a lot of miracles from that St. Herman mud over there. You know? People say, ah, it's just that.
Yeah.
It's true.
That was weak tea with a lot of sugar?
Yeah, to give me strength, you know. Once my mouth opened, first I was locked. So then they wouldn't let me go to school for that whole first year. They used to start from first grade. They didn't have kindergarten. And that's why I kind of lucky to hear stories. I was so skinny I could hardly walk. I'd get off the bed and fall down. Mm-hmm. And my mom and Fedosya Panamaryov and Gladys, all of them. They used to get mad at me. I was inquisitive. I liked to find out things, and I was mad I couldn't go to school. So, and that's how I learned all these old stories. They'd talk, you know, mostly in Alia. And Fedosya used to, she spoke good English, Russian, and English. And she would tell me the stories. And I'd hear him say, ah, he won't say nothing, because they were ashamed. You know how people got punished for talking about legends, and you couldn't even talk Alia, you'd wash your mouth with brown soap. One time me and Buddy Squirtsoff were this small, we were talking Alia, we couldn't move for everything. That teacher washed our board, our mother would call snap the slope boys. We were casting in a short sabaka such tenant couldn't move. They washed our mother. And the bigger boys, they used to whip from us. That's why Ulla ran away, he wouldn't stay in school. He talk, you know, he likes to talk. Yeah. He get punished, so he moved to Pineapple Cove.
You're talking stories about Ulla. He's not old, is he?
He's about Archer's age. He's older than me. 64.
Yeah, well,
66, I think.
Ulla is pretty old, yeah.
67, 66.
I tried to get him to come out here.
Yeah, he'd be good.
Yeah.
He'd be good.
Yeah, he likes his aliens. Yeah. He even hollers to white people in aliens.
Yeah.
He's good at them old stories.
Yeah. I heard a lot from him.
He wouldn't come out here?
No.
I don't know.
Because I fished with Nicky, he used to have all those old stories.
Nicky would have been good.
Oh, I wish he was alive.
Yeah, that's sure. Had good stories about a father. He used to stay with on his squirts up below Irene's.
The redhead?
Yeah. He was interesting and talks in Alec and talks about little Fogg and Meredith.
Is he still alive?
He lives in Seattle, I think.
Thank
you. Do you ever go interview Prescovia Muller?
Meredith.
I see
she lives
would be good.
In Seattle.
You know, sure, her mind is still good. She would be good. She'd have a lot of stories. You know, she's lonely up there. She likes to tell stories when you go visit her. I bet you'd get a lot from her. Because mentally, her memory is real good. You know, because you get that age, they all go back, you know, in time, you know.
It was really interesting. I said, you know more about things at night? Well, I used to try to ask my mom. I said, you're to know as you go outside and play. She wouldn't explain things to us.
Isn't that Henry's?
Huh?
Henry Eaton's brother or something?
Brother.
Is that?
I don't know if they are they.
They're brothers, yeah. Eaton.
Mm. Mm. Like Clara Helgeson, Paris Muller at the ICF. I bet they would be good.
Clara Helgeson.
Yeah.
Of course, not to mention, as I recall, Henry, Hank, and yeah, I think he's up in Anchorage now. I think he moved up there to his son, with his son, because he's really up in age now and was not doing real good, I guess, when he moved up there.
Yeah, because
that's what I understand, anyhow.
You just have to handpick. There's just nobody left anymore.
Yeah. But Hank does have us. And I think he's probably got a lot recorded, too. I don't know. Somebody said that he did.
Does Perry live in Anchorage?
Yeah, Perry does. Uh-huh. Probably check with Perry.
Think of anyone else that would be good?
Not right offhand.
Yeah.
But I do know Paris would be good. Mm-hmm. And Clara Helgeson. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
Gunbridge to Technicker up there.
I saw her name on one of the census.
She loves to tell old stories. I go visit her once in a while.
Gunberg, some picnicker over there. What's his name? Guy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he's looking for somebody to put the island in the park.
I should have brought the list. I got a list from the Frognack of everyone.
Oh, Margaret.
There might be somebody I completely forgot about, you know.
Margaret, Patty's sister, Mullen?
No, she doesn't remember a lot. She was gone. She left.
Mm-hmm.
But what about Sheraton? Sergei Sheraton.
I'm sure he'd be full of stories.
But well, that's not his brother, not your mom's brother. And he lives in Port Lines.
Somebody said he wouldn't come out.
Yeah. And there's I'm trying to think of
it.
Oscar Peterson.
He was out here last summer.
He was out here, but he wouldn't stay very long. But I think he was living, but he wouldn't come here. He'd probably have to go to Port Lines.
I do want to make a trip to Port Lands.
Mm-hmm. And of course there's Johnny Nelson, you know, the Nelson brothers.
Johnny and Abner?
Yeah, Johnny and Abner.
I think that's the only place there's anybody left, mainly.
I don't know if how, but they might be in their own territories. You know, they won't come out. Johnny and Helen and Betty and Abner.
Martha?
Martha Anderson must have some.
Remember Martha?
Peter Nelson.
My daughter Johnny talked to
Peter Nelson.
He's pretty shy.
He used to come out and then
keep traveling to himself.
With his
but I think in their own territory you might be able to get them speaking. You know, there's Reggie. I don't know Reggie. He may.
Well,
you know, that's your buddy.
He moves from Uyaka.
Yeah.
Reggie?
Yeah, before. And then married to Mary Burke, his dad. Uh-huh. That's John, where Reggie's from.
Yeah. Reggie and, Abner and Johnny Nelson, they're way up in age there, so they remember a lot from way back, you know. And those are the people that
But you have to be individually talking to them, you know.
Like otherwise, say, they won't talk much,
bring much, you know, in front of
with
somebody
people.
Else.
Yeah, they're not, social or
social or
quiet. They're quiet and
Well, shall we meet back again at 1:30 after lunch?
Okay. Before you ask some more.